On today's Tech Help for Churches, why your church should be blogging. Hi, and welcome again to another episode of Tech Help for Churches. I, of course, am your host, Paul Allen Clifford, and I'd love for you to join the conversation. Head on over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact, just like it says here in the lower third if you're watching the video, and you can contact me there. All my information's there. Or you can just head on over to Twitter, and you'll see right below, there's my Twitter handle, at Paul Allen Cliff, that's PaulAllanClif. 12 letters, only one F in the Cliff on my Twitter handle, even though in my real name it has two Fs. But that's just for saving space, because I've only got 140 characters to work with. So that's why I've done that. Today's show is brought to you in part by churchstreaming.tv. Visit them online at trinitydigitalmedia.com/churchstreaming for 1 month free trial of every last bit of their service. So you can try out streaming to iOS or Android, their Roku channel, video podcasting, hosting, all that. One price. There's no surprise at the end of the month with any bandwidth bill or anything. And if you decide to keep the service after the 1 month trial, it is a flat rate service. So as I say, no surprises. And their customer service is second to none. So head on over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/churchstreaming for more on that. Also, what life are you waiting for? No, that's not just a question I'm asking you. This is my pastor's new book. It's available for pre-order on Amazon. If you go to trinitydigitalmedia.com/whatlifebook, you can head on over to Amazon from that link. That'll take you there directly, and I'll get just a little bit of the commission on that. But you'll be able to see his book, which is it's a Tyndale House published book. It's not self-published like mine. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it is a great book, and I've heard plenty of outtakes, plenty of stories about it, and it's just something that I'm really looking forward to. And by the way, just for clarification point, that title is hyperbole. He doesn't think you get more than one life. So before the haters start hating, I thought that I would point that out. So let's hop on into our topic. Why your church should be blogging. Now, you might, of course, assume that I do think your church should be blogging, and you'd be right, because I think you really should be. There is nothing worse than a static website. Even if it's well-designed, a church website that has no new content, there's no reason for me to go there, right? I go once, nothing's changed, no reason for me to go back again. So I would suggest that you view your website as an ever-changing, ever-evolving, ever-growing resource for your church. So let's talk about that just a little bit, because that's basically my first point. Content drives traffic. Now, it has to be the right content. Just putting up blah blah blahs over and over again that change somewhat but really don't interest the people that are coming to your church website, that's not going to help. What you want is you want something that will draw the people that you're reaching back. So believe it or not, it isn't all that difficult to get first-time traffic to your website. But converting that first-time traffic into repeat traffic, that's really how you grow. So ideally, you'd want to have first-time traffic that's it starts out at, say, 75% of your traffic, but it drops. But the reason that it drops is the number of first-time traffic visitors stays about the same, but some of those first-time traffic visitors start repeating, and so slowly but surely it switches to where you have more repeat traffic, and you still have first-time traffic, and that still continues to grow, but it's the percentages change. So that's ideally what you want to look for. A great book on this is actually one that I read probably 5 years ago. It's by a couple of the people out of Life Church. It's called The Blogging Church. And you might think, well, Paul, that kind of sounds similar to some of your books. Well, when I read it, I thought, man, someone needs to write some books like this for, say, podcasting. And then I didn't do anything about it until just a few years ago. So I did have the idea based on what they did that this is a great idea. It just needs to be expanded. So I will admit to that. But The Blogging Church is not written by me, but it is a great resource that I'd highly recommend. And I will leave a link in the show notes below so that you can just click on it and go directly to that page. So you might be thinking, well, it's all fine and good that we blog. Actually, maybe I should take a step back and talk about what blogging is, because perhaps not everyone knows that it used to be very, very difficult to put content on a website. But with services and software like WordPress and Tumblr and some others, it's become so easy to do that anyone can do it. So once everything is installed and set up correctly with WordPress, for example, if your church is built on that, or if your church has a website that's built on something else but has like a blog link on it that links to a WordPress blog, probably the hardest part from there is logging in. So you put in your login name and password, you click OK, and then it'll take you to a page that looks kind of similar to a Microsoft Word document. And then you can put in whatever you want. And it's very straightforward and gives you all kinds of options to do. So that's basically what blogging is. It's adding content. It used to be called web blogging or web logging, and someone dropped the W-E, so it just became blogging. So it can be anything from a daily journal to professional news content. So the Huffington Post is basically a blog, but so is Joe's Vacation Memories. I don't know that Joe's Vacation Memories actually exists, by the way. I just made that up. But there's no reason why you couldn't have both of those on each side of the spectrum. So that's something for you to think about. So let's talk about who should blog on your church's website. Let's start off with the pastor. Obvious choice. But your pastor might be very busy. But if he or she isn't, here are some ideas on what the pastor could blog about. Every Monday or Tuesday, beginning of the week following the sermon, the pastor could write up a little blurb about the sermon, about the topic, maybe list some things that didn't make the cut, that were good, they just didn't quite hit the point, or they were good, you just ran out of time, that kind of stuff. Just include that in there. Write down anything you saw, anything you noticed, anything that hit you particularly as the pastor. That's some great stuff to write down there. You could also write down vision. So as the leader of your church, you probably have an idea of where you would like your church to go. And this could be a great place to share that and say, hey, I would love us to be more missions oriented. Or let's, in this next year, finally pay off our building's debt. Things like that. So that would be a great place to do that thing exactly. And finally, you could kind of do this is some future stuff that we're planning, some upcoming series. We're going to be talking about Ephesians in the new year during a series called The Joy Project, talking all about how, despite St. Paul's circumstances, he was remarkably filled with joy, which you wouldn't expect from a man on death row. And that would be a great sermon series. In fact, it's a great sermon series that my church is going through right now. So I didn't make that up. I stole that from my great leaders. But that's just a few things that you could write. You could, of course, also write about ministry needs, some places your church is going to go help out with a disaster, or flying to India to help out with some indigenous pastors there, that sort of thing. You could absolutely do that. So your kid's pastor could do some similar stuff. Write about what the kids are learning and write parenting tips, for example. You could also, the kid's pastor could also give vision behind the children's ministry, how that it's not just babysitting, that kind of thing. All those are great ideas for really growing the ministry and what you can do with it. The youth pastor could talk about upcoming activities and ministry needs, some challenges that parents face as they're trying to lead their teenagers who are trying to become adults and really think they already are, but they're not. And kind of lead and direct them in that way. If you have a pastor who's in charge of outreach, he or she could talk about some ways that you could do that personally to help out members who really, really want to spread the word. They just feel like they don't know how. They feel like they don't have the tools, where you could share that in a blog series. And you could also, he or she could also share great stuff about your church, things that you could tell other people or things that other people could stumble upon about your church. There's no reason that your church's website couldn't become the go-to resource in your community for new people in the area. Now, I don't advocate that you try and steal people from other churches. I think that each church has its own unique spin and everything like that, other than cults, which I absolutely want you to steal people from cults. And I have a very strict definition of that, meaning I don't mean the big church that's successful. I mean a church that says that Jesus isn't God's son, or Jesus is just one of God's many, many sons. That's a cult. So keep that in mind. Leadership style is not cult. Leadership style has very little to do with it. You could have a very democratic, quote-unquote, church that acts like, that teaches that Jesus is just an angel. That would be a cult. Likewise, you could have a very authoritarian church that talks in a very classically, theologically grounded way about who Christ is. And that's not a cult either. So the first would be, because they're confused about who Jesus is. The second isn't. That's just leadership style. Sorry, personal pet peeve. Things get in my head and I have to let them out. So you could, I don't advocate stealing people from other churches unless, as I say, they're actually a cult. But I do think that when someone moves into your community, that's fine. Whether they know Christ or not, they need a church. I believe everyone needs a church. Every single person needs a church. So when someone moves into your community, if your church website is the go-to guide for the community, if they meet their new neighbors and their neighbor says, you know, I know it sounds strange, but if you go to firstchurchofhackensack.com, you will find everything you need to know about living in Hackensack. Think about that. Really, seriously, what if every church all over the world who had a website, you know, obviously some churches in Africa don't have the means for this, some in India don't have the means for this, but in places where you do have the means, what if you became the go-to resource for your community? Think about the traffic that you could drive. Think about when the person who just found out about the 4th of July parade actually in December has a really hard time with the Christmas season. Your church will be on their list of places to visit. That's worth doing. So I think that blogging could be the mechanism that you do that, where every week you talk about something new, something worth talking about in the community, family events, other activities, needs of local missions. You could talk about all these things, and since we're all on the same team, which I absolutely believe, the Baptists are not competing with the Methodists. The Presbyterians are not going up against the Pentecostals. I think we're all on the same team. We're all trying to reach lost people and affect this world for the good. So if we're all on the same team, what if we support each other? So if you find out that there's a ministry that, for example, there's a ministry in my local community that provides free health care to the poor, but they do it in a way where it is like having private insurance, because you call up this doctor's office and you make an appointment and the doctor sees you at your appointment time, and it's just like going to the local clinics that have several doctors, only it's free. So they're kind of lighting a candle instead of cursing in the darkness. That is a ministry worth highlighting, even if it's run by the big Christian church down the road and you're just the small Presbyterian church. It's still worth highlighting. We're all on the same team. Remember that. So you could do that in your blog. You could point attention to them. Remember, we all have at least slightly different audiences. So when you highlight someone else's good work, you're pointing attention to them, and some of that attention is going to come back to you because they'll start to notice, wait, that's strange. I'm getting a bunch of traffic from the Presbyterian Church website. And they'll probably send some your way just out of curiosity. And as you help each other, it actually helps you. So keep that in mind. This is not a zero-sum game. We are in the 21st century where the vast majority of people are unchurched, or they go to church and they just don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, and that's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to reach out. It's not the case that 100% of the people in your area go to church, and so you have to steal them from other churches. No, there are a lot of people that do not. There are a lot of people that have no hope. If I told you some of the stories of people that were hopeless until they came to know Jesus through the ministry of my church, it would break your heart. It breaks mine every time I hear. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I heard a story about a guy who was in prison, and he was thinking, the world would be better off without me. When I get out, I'm going to kill myself. Literally, those were his thoughts. How do I know? Because turns out he decided to give our church a shot before he killed himself. And I'm glad he did, because now he's still with us. And he's not the first life we've literally saved. Not because we're great, but because we point to a great God. That's what you want to do. Those are the lives and eternities that are out there waiting to change. What if in your community people just always thought right before they gave up completely, I will at least give First Church Hackensack a try? Again, I made up that church name, but fill in your church's name. What if they at least gave you a try and you made the most of that opportunity? Think about all the stories you'd love to hear about, yeah, I'm so glad you came in when you felt sick and really didn't want to, because I'm still alive as a result of you doing just that. Seriously, think about that. That could happen. So that, through blogging, this is a tool that we have in the 21st century that not everyone has always had. But through blogging, we can go out and change eternity. Until next time, I'm Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com.